fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend, opportunity to get your battery recharged, maybe, and to have some time with the Lord, celebrate the Lord's Day. You know, today is the Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, and the church gives us a beautiful reading from the second chapter of Ephesians. Simple, just the last few lines, closing off a section of Ephesians there, talking about the role of the apostles and prophets, and the whole church is kind of built on them. The Lord established them. We know the apostolic succession is present in the church, and one of the reasons why there's such clarity and conviction, and the church stands in that continuity from the time of the apostles to the present moment. And God has given us the gift of the apostles. And I want to just today to say thank you to any bishops who might be listening. Thank you for your service. It's not an easy time to be a bishop in the church today, but thank you so much for your dedication and your prayer. And may the Lord bless you on the Feast of St. Thomas. I want to look today at this reading, but also build on it from other parts of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The Lord has called us to a distinct way of life as his people. We're his children. We're baptized into Christ. We've been given power to become children of God, St. John the Apostle tells us. And we're literally brought into the family of God. And we're called to become disciples and followers of Jesus. We imitate his life. What does disciple mean? But learner. We're lifelong learners. What do we want to learn? We want to learn Christ. The whole central goal of each one of our lives is to put on Jesus Christ, as Scripture says. And by the grace of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the help of the church, with the modeling of the saints, with the teaching of the present-day apostles and others, we're being guided into a new way of life. We're empowered by the sacraments of the church to be conformed more perfectly to the person of Jesus Christ, and it's a journey. Every one of us has a different starting place, but all of us are moving in the same direction. And it's so important for us to be able to see, as we read about St. Thomas or the apostles, that the power of God that was at work in their lives is present in your life. Just as in their case, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. In baptism and confirmation, the same Spirit who came upon the apostles at Pentecost and began the church, that same Spirit dwells in you. It's the reason you are a child of God. You were literally born again by water and the Spirit. In the words of Jesus from the third chapter of John's Gospel. You know, he said, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And you're born of water and the Spirit in baptism. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, is given to you. And what happens in baptism? The old man, that is our fallen nature, that's under the domination of sin through original sin present in our lives, that domination, that the reign of sin, as Paul talks about it, causes us to be alienated from God, separated from God. In some way, Scripture makes clear enemies of God. Jesus deals with that in our baptism. What happens there? Romans chapter 6 tells us very clearly that the old man in us needs to be put to death. The ego-centered life, the life that's under the domination of willfulness, I will not serve, the temptation to be radically autonomous and to keep our lives fully in our control, not to put first things first, not to give to God what belongs to God, to do justice to God, to understand what he's called us to. And so in some ways, our minds are darkened. And what God has done in baptism, what the Lord does for us, Scripture is very clear. We're put to death. The old man is crucified with Christ. That is, Jesus applies his cross, his passion, his death and resurrection, his sacrifice for sin. He became sin for us. He became sin for you. And what he does in baptism is he applies the cross. It's healing power. It's transformational power. It's victory over sin and death itself. Applies it to our lives, and he puts us to death, the old man. And we're raised now with the gift of the Spirit. We're raised to a new life, a new kind of life, literally a totally different kind of life. And that is a life now empowered by the Spirit, and a life in which we live as temples of God. So the reading today from Ephesians 2 touches on that a bit, but I want to build on it further in Ephesians, and here's the passage. on this feast day of St. Thomas, brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God. You're no longer alienated from God. What alienated you from God, alienated me from God, is sin. Sin's nearness to us, as I've mentioned many times on the program in the words of Father Cantal de la Mesa, sin's nearness to us provokes God's remoteness. Because God, who is holy, cannot be united to what is unholy. At the core of sin is the refusal to be what God has made us to be, to recognize ourselves as belonging to God, to want to do God's will, as Jesus manifested so beautifully in his own life to us. He showed us what does a healthy, integrated human being look like. Jesus is the perfect model. How do we live? How are we called to live? Jesus shows us. The will of God was his very food. Sin sickness in our hearts causes us to resist that, to resist God's will, God's commandments, and to place ourselves and our own will before God's will. You are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God. By virtue of our baptism, we've been brought into the family of God in his church. And Paul reminds us that this household of God is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. So the foundation is Jesus and the apostles. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. So what we're seeing here from Paul is, what is it that the Lord is doing in us, not only individually, but together? We were once aliens and strangers. We were far off, and now he's brought us near. He's brought us close. We're united to Jesus in the Spirit, and the Spirit took his flesh, risen from the dead. Jesus enters the holy place. He enters the Holy of Holies in heaven, into the presence of God, where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We're united to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Jesus has identified himself with us by taking on human flesh to raise up the human race that is fallen, strangers, alienated from God, isolated, and without any capacity or power on our own to be united to God. This is the whole point in Jesus' coming, to become one of us so he could raise us up, so he could make us sons and daughters of God, and we could literally become members of God's household and live by the plan and the economy of God. Again, through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. So he wants to build us into a temple in the Holy Spirit. That is, men and women of every tribe, nation, race, color, background, have been brought to life together in Christ, are united to him in one spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is in all those who have been baptized into Christ. And Jesus is forming us into a living body. We're united to those who are in heaven, the saints in heaven, but we're also united to one another in a communion, that is the communion of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're brought into the household of God. And Jesus' intention is that we be a temple. And what happens in the temple? Sacrifices to God are offered. Worship is offered to God to make your life and mine a living sacrifice to God, an offering to God. So if you ask yourself, what is it that makes me distinct as a Catholic? I mean, what makes me any different than people who don't know God or have rejected God? What's my purpose here on earth? Well, what's clear and what the apostles show us is that we're stones in this temple. We're living stones, St. Peter will say, that the apostles could see so clearly that what they saw in Jesus offering his life totally to God, he became the servant of all, his passion was to obey his Father, literally was the will of God was his food, his daily food, and he made his life an offering to God. And he said, this is what it means to be human. This is what we were created for. Those who are baptized into Christ and now are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we come into what the apostle called a renewed mind. Paul will mention this in chapter 4 of the same letter to Ephesians. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That transformation includes knowing who you are and what God has done in you so that you can cooperate with God's work in your life and live a life that's integrated, that's becoming all that you were meant to be. Through him, the whole structure is held together. Christ holds us together by his Spirit in power. And this Spirit given to us is a living person who gives us power, and we can literally grow, not only grow numerically, but we can become more like Christ desires us to be, a temple of the living God, a sacred place. The church is set apart, called to be holy. That's what it means to be holy, to be set apart for God. It's a communion of people who, by God's mercy and by God's power, are becoming single-hearted, have learned how to put first things first, are becoming healthy and integrated and laying hold of the fundamental purpose for which we were made. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, don't be anxious about your life, but seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness. Jesus was very conscious of the need for us to put first things first and how the reality of sin, sin's power, the battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil, the weakness of the flesh that's within us, and our fallen nature and our concupiscence, that's a big 25-cent word, but it's really the desire in us to do our own will apart from God. And we're easily seduced and deceived by the enemy. And so we're in this battle. And part of what we battle is a darkened mind. We forget who we are. We forget what it is that we owe God. We lose sight of the true road to happiness and human fulfillment. We are easily seduced into believing lies that the enemy wants to serve up, that happiness is found other places. Happiness is not found in God and his church. It imposes too much on us. It's boring. It's going to take all the zest out of your life, whatever the temptation is. But all the good stuff, all the gold is somewhere else. And so what Paul would say, St. Paul would say, is that it's the effect of a darkened mind. We can't see. And so we have to have our minds enlightened. And our minds are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And that's what the apostles came into, those who were the very foundation of the life that we ourselves are called to live. So we're called to imitate Christ and to imitate the apostles. So Jesus is making us and growing us into a temple, a sacred place in the Lord. In him you also are being built together, Paul tells us here, into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You are a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You have within you a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. At the center of that reality is the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which raised Jesus from the dead, touching your heart, touching your spirit. The Spirit of God, Paul tells us in Romans, that the Spirit of God will speak to the spirit of the believer. And when the Spirit of God speaks, things happen. Transformation happens. Power goes out. And what the Spirit wants to speak to us first and foremost is that we're children of God, that God is our Father. This is what brought peace, confidence, joy to the lives of the apostles, because that reality was internalized and they lived in God's household as God's children. Friends, that's what you're called to do and I'm called to do. Let's help each other get there. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.